chapter 17, John chapter 17. I'm going to cover this part in your notes where I say note. That's so you'll see that. But, and then we're going to read the scripture. So I'm going to tell you my bias. I'm going to tell you what I believe. And I'm not even suggesting that tonight I can prove everything that I'm going to say in these thoughts. You see where it says, the preacher believes the following. So I'm going to at least give you my bias. I want you to know where I'm coming from, and I delight in this. This is important, so don't you believe this and make me prove this later, and I'll prove this over time, but I'm going to tell you what I believe and how then I see this passage tonight. Just as a reminder, John 14, 15, 16, and 17, which we are just about to finish tonight, is this final moments of Jesus. And I'm convinced that John 17 is right before he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane and has that final prayer while his apostles sleep. I think very possibly the apostles could have heard this prayer in John 17. I can't prove that for sure, but I think they may have. And the prayer in John 17 is very intimate between Jesus and the Father, but it's really broken down into three separate sections that we can learn so much. I would suggest, I've not even touched the hem of the garment with this, but I would suggest that if you really want to pray like Jesus, John 17 is probably the best place to understand what is important to him. When you remember this, he was 100% God, 100% man. He was, in just a few short hours, about to be on the cross. The physical punishment we can all relate to, and that's why the Lord wants us to remember that when we have the Lord's Supper. But the greater punishment was the spiritual wrath that was poured on him by God the Father. And what's Jesus knew all that. Remember, he sweat great drops of blood, and I'll get the medical term. I've forgotten the medical term right offhand. There is a medical term, you understand that, where you're capillaries, whatever, will burst and you will bleed through your skin. It's caused by great pressure and stress. And that's what Jesus was under, that boom, burst. Can you imagine the soldiers coming up? Whom do you see?
I have a feeling he had blood all over already.
They're like, is somebody else coming? And so it is the pressure. So here's what's important in John 17, what Jesus talks about. John 17, 1 through 5 is Jesus and the Father. Really what you begin to see is, what are the things that Jesus asked for? What are the things that are really important? And at least when I compare my prayers to them, they're woefully different. Then he prays specifically for the apostles in verses 6 through 19. And it is amazing that he prays for the apostles in verses 6 through 19, and that's the predominant portion of this chapter. And he pours his heart out. He had poured his life into these men, now 11 men. Judas was gone betraying him. We'll soon bring the entourage to betray him here very soon, but he has these 11 men. And these 11 men, from a human perspective, are the reason I am preaching the gospel today in Fairfield, Ohio. Because they were faithful to the command that Jesus had given them. And because of them, obviously to God be the glory, I'm talking from a human perspective, we have the very same gospel that was preached then. And now you can understand why Jesus put so much emphasis of his prayer then for these men. And he prays this glorious request. And I may actually come back to a portion of that next Sunday afternoon that you didn't notice. I didn't finish my notes last time, but I'm so excited about tonight's message, I'm not going to. I might finish it next Sunday. Now then in verse 20 and 26, just look at verse 20, and then I'm going to give you my background. Verse 20 says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe, future tense, on me through their word. Jesus prayed for all that would believe in verse 20. And so what I believe is we get a glimpse. What is the desire, the heart of Jesus for all believers from that point on? He prays specifically verses 6 through 19, for the apostles. Then he has this relatively short passage. passage about all that would ever believe. Let me just take you through these things that I believe, and then I'll relate it to this passage, if you will. First thought, you'll see it in your notes. I believe it's God's will that every believer join one of his churches. It is never God's plan that one of his children ever walk this journey alone. And so, we are at a day and age. I know most of you go, yeah, of course. But do you understand this? That the false teaching of the universal church, I do not believe in the universal church. I believe every believer is a child of God. They are part of the family of God. But the Lord's churches are distinct and separate. I want you to be clear. I do not believe you have to be a member of one of the Lord's churches to go to heaven. Church membership doesn't get you to heaven. But when you're saved, that doesn't make you a member of any church. Frank has been saved now 4 months or so. But whether or not, he's a fellow member now. Too late. Too bad, so sad, your dad, right? He is a member, and now we need to love this guy in spite of himself. And he's a nice guy. But it's always in spite of ourselves, right? And so, but I want to tell you, it's not God's plan that we walk alone. And it is very important, and I believe you'll see that in this prayer tonight. I believe that's what Jesus was dealing with. Second thing you'll see under here, Jesus requests this for everyone that would believe. And so I'm telling you, it's his desire that all of his children would be part of one of his churches. Now remember, not everyone that's a believer is part of one of the Lord's churches. If you want to honor him, you'd want to honor him in obedience, right? Remember this. I believe this. I think we all believe this. Baptism doesn't save. And so, there are believers out there who have never been scripturally baptized. Now, that's a mouthful, what I just said, scripturally baptized. But you don't have to be baptized to go to heaven. But I think we all agree, if you want to obey Jesus Christ, you'll be scripturally baptized, right? In fact, we don't just say baptized, we say we want to be baptized according to the scriptures. That's why I use that terminology, right? Not just some, because remember we said this way, remember this morning that we would endure like a soldier that's not entangled with the world. We would endure and do it the right way. Right, that's important. Doing it the right way is important. Not just doing it, we're going to do it God's way. So, I'm convinced, I haven't said anything, I don't know if this will be controversial, I don't think it will be. Now then, the third thought, I said these things requested in John 17, 20 through 26, I believe this, could only be accomplished within membership of one of the Lord's churches. That's where you're going to be like, I want you to think about that. I'm convinced, absolutely convinced, and I'll show you tonight, and I think you're going to have some things to ponder, things to think about. And there was a huge wow for me as I began to ponder the prayer of Jesus for all that would ever believe. Fourth, unity, you'll see Jesus talks about unity in this passage, is critical for the Lord's churches to bring him the greatest glory. So you'll know when I reference this portion in this passage where Jesus asks for unity, I believe it's unity in each one of his churches. Want to destroy a church? Look at 1 Corinthians. They were a divided church. They have lost their effectiveness for Jesus Christ. This is absolutely important. When you begin to understand, and I hope you would at least ponder and consider it, that this is requested, and I think it's in the vein of the Lord's churches, and you'll see his emphasis on unity and oneness. It is absolutely critical, and so I want us to be very sensitive. Look, this is just reality. We are going to get on one another's nerves. Right? I do like that there are a lot of people in our church that are married. And so guess what? You get on each other's nerves in your marriage. I know. I mean, Stephen and Brooke, they're the only ones. I'm just going to send them irritation. I love it. I want you to be happily ever, after. It's good. It's good. Putting the video camera in your house, fire. But no, I love this, right? I love this. I want you to live the dream. I'm not just kidding. I'm happily married. I'm happily married. My wife and I, we were having a conversation. Anyway, I won't go there. But it's good. Just know this. You're going to get on each other's nerves. People are going to be wrong. They're going to do things that are bad. Or what's another word for bad? Evil. You're going to want to say, I'm done. It didn't didn't say you had to be a part of Hope Baptist Church. I didn't say that if you are a part of Hope Baptist Church that you have to forever be a part of Hope Baptist Church. But I will tell you this. I'm passionate about it. I will go to my grave believing it with all my heart. It's not just because I'm a pastor. I preached this, taught this before I became a pastor. But since I've been a pastor and as I've watched the devil work, I am so passionate about this that it is critical and it will drive your behavior if you don't understand this truth. The Lord's church is our preeminent. It's how he receives glory in his churches, and we'll see that tonight as well. So I want you to understand unity is critical. So this is important. Know this. Yes, it could be your flesh, but I believe it's probably the devil when he wants to have us rub each other wrong and get on each other's nerves. Let's get along. And we are blessed, okay? And maybe the pastor's always the last to find out. I'm not preaching this because I'm addressing issues that we have. But what my hope is that we take this unity, this harmony, and we use it for the glory of God, and we obey him and do what the scriptures tell us to do, right? So this is also important. That as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is not just about us gathering and singing kumbaya and having fellowship internally. That's important. It's about us then taking that unity, taking the truth that we have, and taking it to a lost and dying world. You understand that? That's critical. Because it is useless unity if we don't follow that with obedience externally. I want you to know that. So what happens? We can get lethargic. You know what lethargic means? Apathetic. You know what apathetic means? We can become numb. You know what numb is? Aren't you sure? Numb means, you know, like if you get a cavity, they're going to... They say, this will only sting. That's the worst shot I've ever had in my life. I'm like, hey, why don't you try not numbing me? Could it be worse than that? And so numbness means you can't feel it, right? What happens is we get so used to getting along that we don't realize that God's blessed us. We need to take all the energy that a lot of churches waste on disunity. We need to take that energy and then go pursue the Christ. Go disciple the saved. Go love on people with the love of Jesus Christ. Don't take that energy, that blessing of God that says we have harmony, and then squander it on things that don't matter. It's important that we understand that. It's not unity for unity's sake. It's unity so that you know this. When you and your family are aligned, it is powerful, is it not? Churches, no other thing. Look at this. I want you to understand this. Within his churches, we find completion. Jesus asked for this tonight in this passage. Completion. Fulfillment. You know, I love this, right? I don't know if any guys have this, right? But I've heard ladies. He fulfills me. He completes me. no, I'm just kidding. It's good, but I'll tell you this. Jesus Christ can fulfill all, every need we have. He's the only one that can truly satisfy. If you put your fulfillment, your completion, your satisfaction in anyone but Jesus Christ, you will be met. We are inferior to Christ. That's why we need to understand that. And I'm convinced of this. Christians outside of obedience, okay, so just allow, are not going to be fulfilled. Would we agree with that? And if being a part of one of the Lord's churches is obedience, then outside of that, there would be a lack of fulfillment. So it's not as radical as it might seem. And then I'll show you this tonight. Critical goals of each church, and I'm just getting it from this passage, what Jesus prayed for, should be to be what Christ is. We're going to talk about what does that mean. To know Jesus and the Father. Does yours have an extra thou there? Typo. Should have my wife typed it. Oh, I did that. To know Jesus and the Father. Then the third, to have the love of the Father. So now we're going to read this passage, and I want you to just challenge your mind, and maybe you'll go back and read it later. Here's what I'm convinced. Jesus, he and the Father had this intimate conversation, verses 1 through 5. He then prays for his 11. Jesus will deliver. But do you know this? What is amazing? God of the universe, lady. Didn't he mess up? No, but he poured his heart out to the Father, did he not? Because it's important that we do, right? He did, and I love that. But then, verse 20 through 26, I'm convinced, he says, and for all that will believe, what do I want for them? Now, let's start with verse 26. Jesus, speaking here through the rest of the chapter, he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, I want to pause there. I'm going to do a study because I am blown away. And I think I've mentioned this before. And I don't know if I appreciate the magnitude and the significance of it. And I'm going to determine how many times he mentions this. And so when you're reading through the Gospels, in particular the Gospel of John, I want you to be struck by the importance that it was so important that everyone believed that the Father sent the Son. How many times is that mentioned? It's just mentioned three times in these seven verses here. And I don't know if I appreciate, why is that so important? There was a time in my life where I didn't know why the Trinity was so important. And so the reason the Trinity is so important, if Jesus isn't God, we're all going to hell. But he emphasizes that, right? And so he wants this unity. Look at this at the end of verse 21. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. Now, he's speaking, I believe, the audience he's talking about still refers back to verse 20. All those that will believe. He says in verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect or complete, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Verse 24. Father, I will that thou also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. These have known thee that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. First thought is, I've already talked about that Jesus, you'll see it in your notes, Jesus prays for everyone who will believe. Look at that in verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Jesus is God, all the attributes of God himself, all-knowing. God has the ability to hear every person that's speaking to him. And with over 7 billion people on the earth, if all 7 billion people wanted to have individual time with the Lord and they had the Lord's ear, he could hear all of them as though you're the only one he's listening to. The amazing thing is, when Jesus, it wasn't generic. Not a generic Christian. Cross wasn't generic. This prayer wasn't generic. And, you know, my prayer is generic. Be with everybody. You know, I mean, I don't even know if that's really that good. Jesus wasn't doing a be with everybody prayer. David Needle. He knew how to spell your name. And I believe he was praying for you. As though you were. That's amazing. It's amazing. You've got to understand, he's about to go to the cross. He was thinking. It's overwhelming. Verse 21. And here's what he asked for. What did he request? He says that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, I think we all agree that Jesus is praying for unity. You'll see in your notes. Why? That the world may believe that God sent Jesus. And I'm excited. I really don't know what I'm going to learn, but it's so overwhelming I cannot ignore it, and I haven't done a good enough job with the emphasis that Jesus says that it was, he wants everybody to know that the Father sent him. He wants everybody to know that. And I'm going to delight in that, because if Jesus wants me to let everybody know that the Father sent him, Steve, I think I'm doing an insufficient job with that. So once I get a hold of that, I want us to understand it, because it seems to be important to Jesus. He mentions it over and over and over again. And so I think it might be a deficiency maybe in my preaching. It might be a deficiency in my witness, and I want to understand that. But let me help you look at verse 21. He says that they all may be one. Now I want to ask you this. Does Jesus want every Christian in the world to be one? We are the world. It's never happened. Never come close to happening. And it won't happen this side of heaven. Failure. It's not failure. I'm convinced of this. The unity he's talking about are for churches. When he is praying for them. And I want to show you this, because now, I'm going to get there, but we're going to talk about this in a little bit. I want you to look at verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Now, I want you to ask this. If verse 21 is just all Christians, and he wants us to all be the same, there's no way. I want to tell you, the last time the world had that kind of unity, power of Adam. And it didn't go well. And do you know what it would take for us to have unity today? And there is a call for unity today. That's called the ecumenical movement. Do you know how much compromise has to be in that for us to finally say we are one? The gospel is nowhere to be found in any movement where the world is one or the world of Christians are one. I do not believe that's what you're requesting. We're going to get to the point where he says in verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I don't believe that he has given you this glory. But I will tell you this, I'm going to prove to you, I believe the glory that he has given them is in his churches. He has said that. You will not find that he says, and I receive glory, not like his churches, through Caleb. You want to glorify the Lord, we will serve him through one of his churches. And again, I'm not telling you that to manipulate you, to get you to come to Hope Baptist Church. I want you to understand the perspective of the Lord. I am convinced of this, that the clearinghouse of service, if you'll allow me to use that term, that his plan for every believer is that we would submit ourselves to one of his churches and serve him all our lives under the authority of his churches. And there are great blessings, and he tells us those all throughout the scriptures. But what he desires for his churches, I'm convinced, is that they would have unity. And now look at that. Look at that in verse 23. I'm just going to skip, still speaking of unity. He says, I and them and thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one. It's when I tell you I believe this, that when he talks about being perfect, it's complete. I've given you the Greek word there. It's so cool. You ought to, sometimes you don't have to be a Greek scholar. You ought to look up words just to see what the, more than the Greek word, you ought to look up words to see how was it used differently when it was translated. It really gives you the flavor and the meaning and the depth and the breadth of the meaning of words. So look how this particular Greek word was translated. Make perfect 12 times, perfect 4 times, finish 4 times, fulfill twice, be perfect once, consecrate once. 24 times it was used in the New Testament. And so, I want to tell you this. Jesus said he wants us to have unity that we might be complete. And it's why I said that earlier. I said his plan, his desire is that every believer be a part of one of his churches. And it's a pretty narrow scheme. I'm not even here pounding the Baptist drum. Although I want to tell you this. You know why I'm a Baptist preacher? It's not by accident. It's not by convenience. It's out of absolute conviction. By God's grace, you will not hear me from this pulpit beat up anybody that's not a Baptist that preaches the true gospel. No place for that from this pulpit. No place for that from any individual Christian. When somebody preaches the true gospel, leave them alone. But that doesn't stop me from being thankful. Not prideful. Don't be proud that you're a Baptist. Be thankful that you're a Baptist. Know why that you're a Baptist. And don't be a Baptist out of convenience. Don't be a Baptist out of accident. Be a Baptist by conviction, and be a being Baptist, be a nice, loving Baptist. But other people would say, why would I ever want to be a Baptist? Well, and so I'll tell you this, it's the only options for the Lord's churches are those places that preach the true gospel. And that's no works. When I tell you that there's no works getting in, there's no works getting out, I've eliminated 98% of the churches in America. They all have some sort of works-based salvation. I'm thankful for the community church that preaches the true gospel. But I'm not a community church. I'm thankful for maybe there's, old-time Methodists used to preach the truer gospel, but I don't know of any now, but maybe there's a Methodist church out there now that preaches the true gospel. And I'm thankful for that. You won't hear me criticize it. But we are told to mark those that teach contrary to the Word of God, right? Not in a hateful spirit, but in a warning spirit. So I want to tell you this, that if you want that completion, that fulfillment, that the perfection in Christ, that unity, then you need to be part of one of the Lord's churches. I promise you, I'm just preaching the next verse, but this is an area of passion for me. And I'm telling you, I'm giving you the best advice that I believe scripturally. If you look at the New Testament, it's written, the churches, not just so that we go, well, that's really cool, so that we can be a part of one and serve the Lord joyfully and honor Jesus Christ. I want you to look at verse 22. He says this, and he says, the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Now, I want you to look in your notes at the bottom of page 1. I believe the only thing I can find in Scripture where the Lord speaks of glory in this way is his churches. Look at Ephesians 3:21. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, there is some humor with all of this. I mean, if you just look at those that are in the room tonight, we're a bunch of ragtag, unimpressive people. If you get haughty because you're a Baptist, you've misunderstood truth. You should be thankful. But I'm telling you, I don't think that we're impressive. But what the Lord says is this, he's going to take a bunch of ragtag, struggling people, and he said, you do it my way. Right? If this is his plan. It's his plan. That we covenant together in our feebleness. We have unity when there's reasons why we should just chuck it. And the Lord says, you do it. And I'll receive more. And I'll pay. So that's why we live. I want to bring glory to Jesus Christ. You know what he told me? He did. You've joined with a bunch of people, but you don't know half about them. You love them. You serve them. You have unity. You know what? Nobody else is going to be impressed by you. But I am. That's all that matters. You know all that matters sometimes to kids? This is important. Deb and I had a conversation yesterday. You know, I told her, I'm a numbers guy, right? So we were numbering on that. What do you think it is? Just go 1 to 10. So we talked that. But this is after I was giving her some instruction. And she's like, you know, I feel terrible about that, right? So it's not good. And I said, look. It's not that bad. I said, we're a 9. I think we're a 9. She said, you know, she said, I think we're a 9. I said, it's good. But I'm not satisfied with a 9. I want to be a 10. I said, don't misunderstand that. You know, it's the same way with our churches. It's like, how do we bring glory to Him? Because this is the mechanism that He said, I receive glory in it. And when He said, I'm praying for all that would believe, I want them to have unity, it wasn't one more church. That wasn't His vision. You know why I know that wasn't His vision? It has never come close in history to ever happen. His vision throughout the centuries has been church here, church here, church here, church here, church here, church here, church here. Oh, this one collapsed. This one keeps going. This one will plant church here, church here, church here, church here, church here. Right? And his desire is to plant churches, read Psalms. And you know what? That church may die. But praise the Lord, for the time they did, I received glory. That's His plan. Not that impressive. But you know what happens when you unite? You begin to become opulent. You know, the word Catholic means universal. And they've got all the gold and goods, and they're trying to build this, you know, monument. The Lord's churches through the centuries. A bunch of bumpkins that love Jesus, love their neighbor enough to warn them of a judgment to come. And the Lord said, that's what I like. You know what's amazing? Before He went to the cross, He prayed for we bumpkins. That's awesome. You've got to get a hold of this. It's a big deal. Now let's keep going. Turn on your back of your notes here. I want you to see now, He says in verse 4, He says, Father, I will. I love those statements. Because what does He will? I will that the also whom Thou hast given me, verse 24, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which Thou hast given me, for Thou knowest me before the foundation of the world. Now, you'll see in your notes, I ask this question, and there could be debate. In verse 24, when Jesus says, I will that Thou also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am. He's talking physically or spiritually? I think He's talking spiritually. Because remember earlier, when in John 16, I think it might have been John 17, when He was praying for the apostles, where He said, I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, but they are not of the world. They're in the world, but not of the world. But don't take them out of the world. And Jesus was leaving. When He's saying, I'm praying that they would be where I am, here's what I believe. Where He is with the Father. The focus of Jesus was this. The only reason I live and breathe, the only reason I eat and sleep, is to honor and glorify Jesus Christ and to accomplish the will of the Father. Now look at the passage I have here. I think that's where Jesus was. John 4:34, Jesus saith unto them, remember this is at the woman at the well and the guys thought He missed lunch. He says, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. When Jesus was praying, and you've got to understand, He said this, I want each of us to understand, why am I here? How do I honor and glorify Jesus Christ? And that is our dominant thing. That is what overwhelms us, and that we say this, I'm here to finish the work. I'm here to do the will of the Father. Look at John 5:30. He says, I can of mine own self do nothing. This is Jesus speaking. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. That's Jesus, John 6:38. He says, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, the will of Him that sent me. Then this famous passage in Luke 22:42. Jesus saying, Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. There are going to be those times where we absolutely agonize over the will of God. That's why I put Luke 22:42. It doesn't mean that everything's just going to be like a party. It doesn't mean everything's going to be easy. But if we want to be where Jesus is at, when we go through those valleys that we don't understand why, that we ask the Lord and say, if You would be willing, I would love You to ease this trial. You would be willing, I would love You to heal this loved one. If You you would be willing. I would love you to do this. But then those hard words. Not my will. God. That's where Jesus was. That's where he wants us to be. And when you think of it in the context of his churches, what we have become is not what he wants. We have become a destination point versus a launching point. You understand the difference how when I'm using that terminology? You know, church, I do believe there's a place where we come and we get refueled. But the real perspective of churches are that they are sending units. And I think when I begin to study this, because I've already started a little bit, when Jesus says it's important that they know that the Father sent me. And then I'm convinced as I'm beginning to study this, I'm convinced that he says this. And then it's important that other people know this. Who sent us, Lee? You won't believe when I knock on people's door. You know, when I do this study, I'm going to have a little fun. I'm going to have a little fun this fall or this spring. I'm going to say, how you doing? Jesus sent me. Try just sort of you people, right? But understand this, that it is the place where we need to be, and it is difficult. It's difficult when it comes to family, loved ones. I love our prayer request. I know this. You know, you can tell how dominated we are by the body, right? Most of our prayer requests are filled with our bodies. No criticism. Jesus understood that. But what we've got to do is not thy will. Not my will, but thine. Now look at verse 25. Verse 25. I'm going to move on there. He says, O righteous Father. Now, I'm going to pause there just because I don't want us to be flowery for the sake of flowery. You ought to have this in your private prayer. I'm less interested in your public prayer than I am your private prayer. How many times have you given adjectives to God the Father? Privately. Jesus did. Just ought to spend some time and see if you can do this. You just ought to spend some time and say, Lord, Holy Father. And just tell him, say, Lord, I'm going to spend some time, and he's okay with that. Okay? Just tell him. Say, and if this is wrong, rebuke the pastor. You know, so, and just pray to the Lord and say, I'm going to spend some time here. I'm going to see how many adjectives I can say of you that I think I can prove biblically. Oh, loving Father. Oh, righteous Father. You know, and Jesus, it was from his heart. And he knew. Oh, righteous Father, he says, the world hath not known thee. I have known thee. These have known that thou hast sent me, he says it. He says, and I have declared unto them thy name. But I want you to know this. To know Jesus and the Father. You hear that over and over again from me, and I trust that you hear it over and over again from me, because I never want us to lose the focus. Now, I do know this. I do pound on a lot of the same things because I think the Bible does, and we are so hard-headed we don't get it. So you know this. I believe that Hope Baptist Church should shut its doors if we forget that we are here to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. If we forget that, I won't resign as a pastor. I would want to shut her down. That's not to be a jerk. I'm not interested in clubs. There's a bunch of fine and dandy clubs out there. We live for the glory of God. But I want to tell you this. I'm convinced the reason why we struggle with that simple obedience. Me too. Me too. Trust me. There's way too many people every week of my life that I do not share the gospel with, and I have a reason why not to. Just a little bit too fast, a little bit too busy. Right? You'd be amazed. I mean, it's just crazy. People will stop what they're doing, and they will listen to you. We are in a unique time in history because nobody shares the gospel. People will listen. I'm going through tests because if anybody can offend anybody, right here, I've done it so many times. I've been yelled at way more than you ever will, more than collectively everybody in this entire sanctuary. And I've earned it most of the time. So That's not me bragging. That's me saying I'm learning my lesson to say, how do I become gentle, loving, kind? My wife's still holding out hope. And so I want to do all that, but I'm telling you, here's why we don't. We don't know Jesus. We didn't say we weren't saved. Do you understand verse 25 is talking to all those that would believe? And he says, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I want you to see in these passages, look at these passages, the issue with us is we don't know our Savior the way we should. And when I sin, I don't know my Savior the way I should. And when I don't witness, I don't know him, because if I knew Jesus, I know he would tell them the gospel. I know he would. He went purposefully everywhere he went. Remember, he must needs go through Samaria. It wasn't just like, no, let's go through Samaria. It's quicker. No, Jesus went a shortcut with a mission. And we've got to embrace that, but I'm convinced of this. Remember this. I know this. I do. So I'm not trying to bully you. But if you feel pressure from me, hope is the Holy Spirit. You got this. I want you to know him. I want you to love him. I want you to obey him. Because I'll tell you, there's no life like it. Let me just tell you this real quick. When I am not right with God, I'm a miserable man. And everybody around me is miserable. I have that ability. Okay? And so, but when I know him, then I love him, my life is better. And I will take, I barely touched the hem of the garment. By God's grace, if God gives me 5 more years, if Jesus hasn't come back, I hope I know Jesus way more. And I hope you guys look at me and go, whoa. He's still a jerk, but not nearly as bad as he used to be. But it's important to know the Father. Now look at this. Look at John 14. I'll just do a real quick reminder. And I'm almost done. Thomas said unto him, John 14, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Verse 7. He says, if you had known me. This is the key. Thomas was a believer. But there's the depth of the knowledge of Christ. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll be sufficient. It'll suffice us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? They believed that. They knew that. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Now this is important. He's talking to a believer. Now, I know I've preached this before, but I just want to remind you. I want us to understand the connections of truth. When we struggle with those base things of obedience, when we struggle with discipleship, when we struggle with sharing the gospel, the issue, yes, it's sin, but the issue ultimately is that we don't know Jesus. Didn't say we weren't saved, but to the depths that we would. And here's what Jesus says. This is important, and I'm also convinced we are unthankful. Now, where did I get that? The last phrase where he says that in verse 11. He says, if you can't believe that, can't believe my words, believe my works. Christian, has Jesus been good to you? He's been so good to us that we ought to want to know him. The way to know him is be in this book. And I offer this to every single person in this room. You know what I can't wait? I can't wait till I'm overwhelmed. I've never turned a Bible study down yet. I will, and I don't think it's possible. Do you know this? Bible studies energize me. Bible studies, it is exactly the way it is. And you say you want to know Jesus and you need some help, I will help you. If it's a lady, my wife will come alongside me and we'll help you. I'll never meet with a lady alone. But maybe it'll just be my wife with you. But so, just so you know, we'll always figure something out. I love that. I love my wife. I don't even have to ask. I commit her to so many things, and she's awesome. And I tell you that you ought to be thankful. You know what? I've seen a lot of loser pastor wives. You got a better pastor wife than you got a pastor. There's no doubt about it. enough that she doesn't complain. But I want you to know this. I'm here. I want to help you know Jesus Christ. I want you to yearn to know Christ because you know this. The key to the successful Christian life is to know Jesus. You know Him. You will obey Him. And Jesus knew the Father, and He was so focused on the Father's will because He knew the Father. He never doubted Him. When we know Jesus, we won't. Final thought, verse 26. It is, He says this, and I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. I love Jesus. He said, I will declare Your name. Remember this. It's so simple, just so duh. We were saved that we might declare our Savior and God the Father, and declare Him that the world might know who He is. What a privilege. But now this. He says this, and I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Now remember this. This is talking about believers and the depth of the love that would be in them. We talked about this in Sunday school. I've referenced that passage here. Look at this in 1 John 2:15. Love not the world. That's what will suck away your love for Christ. Love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's talking to believers. You know, we talk so many different ways of Christianity. You will walk in the flesh or you will walk in the spirit. You will love the world or you will love Jesus. Which is it going to be? You've got to mortify the flesh every day. You've got to crucify the flesh every day. Whatever terminology you want to use from the Word of God. But what Jesus says is this. And you just, now let's step back. Turn to the front page of your notes. I just want you to see the holistic perspective. Because sometimes we get lost in the minutia, the notes. I want you to see this, that what did Jesus request? He requested unity. You can take that in your own families. You know what would destroy a family? Disunity. You know this? Start with the mom and the dad. I can tell you this. I don't know. Whoever's family is in here, if the mom and dad aren't aligned, if the mom and dad aren't on the same page, you're going to destroy your family. Secret of the devil. Period. Husband, get your act. Don't try to change your wife. Wife, love your loser. You know it? You've got to learn to do that. Disunity. But I'm talking, he's talking about his churches. What did he request? He requested unity. He requested that we might be complete, and I believe that only happens with the believer in Christ, in his churches. But then I want to tell you, I've said this, critical goals, is that we would be where Christ was, is. That is, whatever you want. I struggle praying that. You ever struggle praying that? Whatever you want. Most of my prayers are, let me help you with what I would like. Let me let you know my preference. And then I say, in Jesus' name. I think what the Lord would like is the submission. He knows my heart. I say, you know me. And I think I know where you're going and I don't like it. But I want your will. To know Jesus and the Father. That's the plan. Understand this. I wish I'd done a better job this morning just leaving people with that, because I do pound on the responsibilities of the believer. But, and I'm not making excuses, because I want to tell you this, what I love about our church. No one's ever come up to me and said, you know what, I disagree with you. It's okay if you disagree with me too. I've been wrong. I'll be wrong again. A lot. But, and they won't say, you know, and I'm going to do what you preach this morning. But I think sometimes the way I preach discourages you. Because you come back the next week and go, didn't tell anybody about Jesus. What everyone is going to say? Loser. And then everybody, I'm a loser again. You know, and so how do you break the cycle? You got to know Jesus. You leave with one thing today. I want to know Christ so much that it just revolutionizes this whole life. front of you what he wants us to do. So there's no confusion. But when we struggle day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out, year in and year, because we don't know him. Know him. Know God. John 17 has become one of my favorite chapters of the Bible. One of the weaknesses of my life is prayer. I haven't touched the hem of the garment, but I'm going to be a student of John 17 maybe the rest of my life. I want to pray like Jesus. I've never prayed like him. But by God's grace, I'm going to keep studying. So I want to be like him. I want to be where he's at. To where one day, I just want to pray like Jesus. I think I'll be dead once I do that. But that's my goal.